As the children leave, let's pray together. God, as we come as a gathered people this morning, we thank you for your promise that you are with us, that you are present, that your love is here, that your love is real and deep, that you see us and that we belong to you. God, thank you that you are creating our stories. And may we be a people who put our hope in you as we understand this beautiful message of God come to be with us. In your name we pray. Amen. So good morning and welcome to our second Sunday in Advent. An email went out midweek that we said we would press repeat from our time of not being able to gather last Sunday. So we're just coming into the second season of Advent. Some of you have been following along or celebrating Advent in your own ways from the beginning of December. And Advent is a Christian tradition. It's a season of waiting with great hope for new possibilities. God has come to dwell among us, and his coming set in motion something new. God is love, and love birthed himself among us. In our last series, our focus was on discipleship, and together we journeyed through the ways where we, as disciples of Jesus, could get closer to him with the purpose of becoming like him. And during that series, the benediction that sent us out each week was, do you remember? What was the benediction in that series? Steve knows. May you be covered in the dust of your rabbi. May you be covered in the dust of your rabbi. May you be following so closely to Jesus that you become covered in the dust that he kicks up as he walks and takes us to the places he desires us to go with him. And to be covered in the dust of your rabbi, we learned that it showed of one's commitment and one's zeal to following Jesus. In the Christmas story, it is Jesus who moves close to us and gets covered in the dust of the earth, covered in our dust, meeting us in our dust, sitting with us in our dust, being birthed into our dust. And this being birthed among us was a sign of God's great love for all of humanity. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. These words spoken by John or penned by John paint the picture of God becoming flesh and making his dwelling among us. In the original Greek in which John's gospel was written, the language is even more vivid. It is better translated as God pitched his tent among us. And the Message version reads, the Word became flesh and blood and moved into the neighborhood. This is a picture of a house, of a yard, just around the corner from our gathering space. The Word became flesh and blood and moved into the neighborhood. Imagine Jesus showing up in his little trailer. God decided to come among us. God pitched his tent, made his home, and dwelt among us. That's how much God wanted to be with us, to reveal himself to us, and to reveal his love to us. And that meant a decision for God to move. A decision and a commitment. God decided to live among us. God made a commitment to love us up close. I like this unknown author's description of the beauty of Emmanuel. God could have chosen any way to reveal himself to us. God could have come as some great vision in the sky. God could have chosen any physical manifestation at all. But God wanted us to be able to relate to him easily. And so God came to us in the most relatable way possible, as one of us, pitching his tent among us, living among us, being with us, being us. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son. On our first Sunday of Advent, Steve spoke of this prophecy from Isaiah 7. The Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin will conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. The name Emmanuel appears in the Old Testament twice, and once in the New Testament. And Emmanuel is one of the most comforting of all the names and all the titles of Jesus. The Hebrew word Emmanuel is a compound of two words. Emmanu means with us, and El means God. And together it means with us is God. God with us. As you go throughout your Advent season, you may speak, with me is God. With us is God. Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. Emmanuel. We see in the person of Jesus just how much compassion God has towards his people. Isaiah announces that centuries prior to Jesus coming in infant form, for unto us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And so this child, Jesus, Emmanuel, with us is God's great gift of love to us. Richard Rohr writes, God's presence became more obvious and believable in the world. The formless took on form in someone we could hear, see, and touch, making God easier to love. In this season of Advent, we are invited to enter or re-enter the biblical narrative of the events around the birth of Christ, to sit with these narratives, to ponder them, and to see where they break through in our own lives. We read already this morning about the angel telling Joseph that Mary was to have a baby who was to be called Emmanuel, meaning God with us. Now, Mary and Joseph, they had not been longing for a baby. This was not the surprise that they delighted in. But another couple in the Christmas narrative had been. Elizabeth and Zechariah, after years of hoping for a child, found themselves childless. And I'm going to read this story from Luke 1 from the Message version of the Bible. So we're going to move in together into this story of Zechariah. During the rule of Herod, king of Judea, there was a priest assigned service in the regiment of Abijah. His name was Zechariah. His wife was Elizabeth. Together they lived honorably before God, careful in keeping to the ways of the commandments and enjoying a clear conscience before God. But they were childless because Elizabeth could never conceive, and now they were quite old. And so it happened that as Zechariah was carrying out his priestly duties before God, working the shift assigned to his regiment, it came his one turn in his life to enter the sanctuary of God and burn incense, his one turn in his life. The congregation was gathered and praying outside the temple at the hour of the incense offering. Unannounced, an angel of God appeared just to the right of the altar of incense. Zechariah was paralyzed in fear. But the angel reassured him, "Don't be afraid, Zechariah. Your prayer has been heard. Elizabeth, your wife, will bear a son by you. You are to name him John. You're going to leap like a gazelle for joy. And not only you, many will delight in his birth. He'll achieve great stature with God." And Zechariah said to the angel, "Do you expect me to believe this? I am an old man, and my wife is an old woman. But the angel said, I am Gabriel, the sentinel of God, sent especially to bring you this glad news. But because you won't believe me, you'll be unable to say a word until the day of your son's birth. Every word I've spoken to you will come true on time, in God's time. Meanwhile, the congregation waiting for Zechariah was getting restless, wondering what was keeping him so long in the sanctuary. When he came out and couldn't speak, they knew that he had seen a vision. When the course of his priestly assignment was completed, he went back home, and it wasn't long before his wife, Elizabeth, conceived. Zechariah was filled with disbelief and we might say some hostility to the angel's message. It seems that Zechariah had given up on the idea that God loved him enough to provide for him, to answer his earnest prayers. And we can imagine him screaming or saying with indignation, "You haven't been there for all these years, so why should I believe that you'll be there now?" Zechariah's indignation has room in our Advent journey. When we look into his story and his response, where do we see ourselves? What was going on in his life that produced such a reaction? What is our reaction to God's yet unmet promises in our lives? When you hear or read of the promises of God that are absent from your present situation, can you believe that God loves you and shows up? When you are in a dark place, can you see that God, that Emmanuel, is with you and working for your good? God worked way outside the boundaries of childbearing years and provided for Elizabeth and Zechariah. Zechariah did not have the strength to trust in God when the angel appeared to him. But through God's love, Zechariah's hope was renewed and his trust was restored on the other side of God's provision. We meet Zechariah again following the birth of his son John, praising God. And he says, "And you, my child, will be called the prophet of the Most High, for you will go on before the Lord to prepare the way for him, to give his people the knowledge of salvation through the forgiveness of their sins. Because of the tender mercy of our God, by which the rising sun will come to us from heaven to shine on those living in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the path of peace." In this Advent season, there is room for us to doubt. And there is room for our faith to feel like it is fading rather than flourishing. There is room for us to fear that God is unwilling or unable to fulfill his promises. And there is room because it is into our doubts and into our fears that Emmanuel, that God with us, that love in the flesh is birthed. I wonder what was happening with Zechariah all the months where he waited for his promised child to come. Not only was a baby growing inside of Elizabeth, but faith and a new recognition of the love and power of God was growing inside Zechariah. And like Zechariah in this Advent season, we are invited to trust in God's transforming love and power that is taking place in the as yet unknown places of our lives. In Advent, we are reminded that God sent himself to be amongst us to demonstrate his deep love for us, where we are in this day. Unclean, unclean. These are the words that people with leprosy had to yell out as a warning when they came near other people who are yet unaffected by this very contagious disease of leprosy. In Leviticus 13, it reads that any person with a serious skin disease, such as leprosy, must wear torn clothes, leave his hair loose and unbrushed, cover his upper lip, and cry out, "Unclean! Unclean!" As long as anyone has the sores, that one continues to be ritually unclean. That person must live alone. He or she must live outside of the camp. Having leprosy not only harmed the person's body, but it also crushed the person's spirit. Once a person caught the disease, he could no longer live with his family or with his friends. He had to live alone or with other people who had leprosy. He could not go to a job to earn a living. He had to depend on the charity of others just to have enough food to eat. The religious leaders of the day thought that anyone with leprosy was spiritually unclean, and they could no longer go to worship God in the temple. People stayed clear of lepers, but not Emmanuel. Not the infant son, now grown into a man. I weep because I can't imagine that experience of having to yell out, "Unclean, unclean," and that pushed people away, to leave people in such deep isolation. But through Jesus, God moved into the neighborhood of the leper colony. The first time we see Jesus interact with a person who was affected with leprosy was shortly after he called Peter and the other fishermen to follow him. And scripture says, then a leper came to Jesus and began pleading with him. He fell on his knees and told him, "If you want to, you can make me clean." And moved with compassion, Jesus reached out his hand. He touched him and he told him, "I do want to be clean." And instantly the leprosy left the man, and he was clean. Scripture says that Jesus was filled with compassion. And compassion means a deep awareness of and a sympathy for another's suffering, coupled with the deep desire to relieve it. In your waiting this Advent, there is room for the feeling that you are unseen. And there is room for us to struggle with our unclean places, and our unclean thoughts, and our unclean habits. There is room for our wonderings about whether God is actually going to enter into our situations where we feel lonely, whether he will come close to be with me, to be with us, to be our Emmanuel. I have been reading a daily Advent journal this year, and Alana Johnson, who is a pastoral intern at a local church, wrote the following. Her words tell of her journey, of trying to keep Emmanuel at arm's length, of feeling she was unclean and God shouldn't come near, of not allowing God to burst into the deepest places, into her thoughts and emotions that she thought were unclean or unwelcomed, and therefore not open to God's loving touch. Alana writes, "I didn't have much of a sense of Advent season beyond including some carols during the services and hearing sermons pumping us up about the reality of what happened at Christmas, which is our reality now, because we're forever living in the aftermath of the day 2,000 years ago. Jesus came. We're all okay. Jesus came. Everything is now as it should be. Jesus came, so every day is Christmas." And yet, she writes, "It took me a while to acknowledge that I had an underlying current of unease with this. That unease didn't come to a head until more recently when, seemingly out of the blue, I experienced the sudden onset of a severe season of anxiety. I wanted to say, 'Jesus came and everything is okay.' However, it was hard in that season, the season when I was constantly on the verge of debilitating panic attack and eventually lost the ability to sleep altogether, when I walked around with a perpetual sense of impending doom. In that season, I was not grateful I was scared. In that season, I knew that everything was not as it should be. But I had internalized this message that as a believer in Jesus, I should be able to pray a powerful prayer, a prayer full of faith, and the anxiety would have to go away. And so I prayed. I would sit in the middle of the night singing songs over myself about peace and fighting my battles and being an overcomer. I declared that all as it should be and commanded my body to line up. And yet, I couldn't just pray this anxiety away. And after talking to safe and loving people, I realized something. I was holding on to the belief that I had a responsibility to perform wholeness on behalf of Jesus. Buried deep inside was this idea that I should be a walking billboard for the good life, a sparkling, effervescent billboard that convinces people to buy what Jesus is selling. But what my heart really wanted to say and wanted to acknowledge was that everything was not as it should be. And so I practiced sitting, letting things not be as they should be. A wave of untethered dread would come, and I'd say, "Hello, I see you trying to get my attention. I see you." And I practiced letting go of the idea that I had to perform wholeness on behalf of Jesus. Instead, I asked him to sit with me in my sad anxiousness. I asked him to show up for me and to show me how my heart actually needed him in the space where things were not as they should be. And in that space, he came. I had the distinct sense of his arms coming around me, not to fix me or heal or empower or strengthen, but to comfort me. And something inside of me began to shift. And Advent reminds us that we are living in the now and not in the yet. The one who has come is coming again. We find ourselves like Zechariah, unable to believe the angel's message, or feel like we should yell out loud things like we are unclean or undeserving of God's love. But Advent reminds us that we are comforted, that we are loved, and that the glory of Jesus is revealed through Emmanuel. He is the Good Shepherd. He gathers us in his arms and he carries us close to his heart. And this is the beginning of our wholeness and the spark of good news to all humanity. This morning, as we move from our seats to a place around the communion tables, we move more deeply into Christ's story for us. When Jesus came, everything was not as it should be. And yet he burst in and he walked amongst us, showing us a new way to live, revealing his boundless love all the way to the cross. And in his birth and in his death, we are met with Emmanuel. God is with us. With us is God. As Steve comes forward, I'll end with this verse from Colossians 1. The Son is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. Amen.
Let us pray. O God of bountiful grace,